Now, this morning, I want to talk to you about something really very, very important. And I've been building up to this for a long, long time. There are all sorts of things. Can you imagine what it would have been like to have been one of the disciples travelling with Jesus? You see, I don't know whether they realised at first quite how remarkable he was. Because I have a sneaking suspicion he was just a really nice bloke to be with. I think he enjoyed walking along the road with them. I reckon there was a bit of, a bit of a lark, a bit of a joke. I think that's how it was. And then every so often he did something amazing. You know, every so often he spat on the ground. Bible tells us he did it once anyway. Spat on the ground, created some mud in his hand, put it on the eyes of a blind man, told him to wash it off, and when it was washed off he could see. Now that would grab your attention, wouldn't it? I mean, a couple of times, he raised somebody from the dead. There was no question about it. In Lazarus's case, he'd been in a cave for 2 days. And in that sort of temperature, believe me, that would have been bad news. Roll the stone away and he said, "Lazarus, come out." And he comes out. Now that would grab your attention, wouldn't it? So by the time he gets to the cross, his disciples are so convinced he's the answer that when he dies on the cross, they can't believe it. They can't believe it. Because they thought Jesus was going to proclaim the king, he'd take over, Romans out the way, Jesus is king. So when he gets crucified, and they know he could get away from it if he wanted to, they can't work it out. They struggle to believe that he's risen from the dead till they actually see him. And even when they've seen him, they're not quite sure. It's amazing. Now, you and I, we've got all that stuff to read. Don't just read it and let it go straight over your head and think, oh yeah. It's massive. It's incredible. We're on the tail end of this incredible news. Now, when Jesus was alive with these disciples, I'm sure they were constantly asking him questions. I've got loads of questions for Jesus, haven't you? And I try asking them. Sometimes I just can't hear the answers. Are you like that? I've been asking him a lot of questions recently. I don't know the answers. Sometimes I think, I've got the answer. Then I find I'm wrong. But I still ask him. One of the things they said to him, because they saw something about him. Do you know, when Jesus was preparing for some of these things, they noticed he disappeared for a few hours. Sometimes he'd disappear overnight on his own. And they're thinking, where's he gone? What's he doing? Eventually they realised he'd gone somewhere to have a one-to-one conversation with his father. He did it often. And so they said to him, Jesus, teach us how to pray. We want them to know how to pray. There were official ways of praying in the temple or even in the synagogues, but the ordinary people in the street didn't do that. Only the priests did that. Ordinary folk occasionally had a quiet corner, but in the main, and they said, Jesus, we've seen something happens when you pray. Teach us to pray. And you know, my attention's been on prayer for the whole of the year. And particularly this whole sense that it's vital. You see, it was vital to Jesus' ministry. If you look at it, somebody said that Jesus went from conversation to conversation with his father and did some miracles in the gaps. That was what drove Jesus never ever, apart from that one moment in the cross, when he says, my God, why have you forsaken? It's the only time he was not clearly in communication with his father. And he said, I only do what I see my father doing. It's all I do. So every step, because you see, there were some places where Jesus went, and the Bible tells me he healed all the sick. There were other places he went. There was a pool where there were loads of sick people waiting, because the theory was first person in the water gets healed. They were all waiting for the next bubble up. Because it had to be a bubble before that happened, you see. And how many people did Jesus heal in there? Well, as far as we can tell, he healed one of them. Why? You know the man at the gate, we referred to him a few months back, where Peter and John spoke to the crippled man who was sitting at the gate of the temple. Jesus must have passed him loads of times, I reckon. But he was still there, waiting for Peter and John to tell him to get up. So Jesus didn't heal every single sick person he saw. He did what he was told to do by his father. But I tell you what, if his father said that person's going to be healed, he knew beyond a shadow of a doubt. And he said, be healed. Stand. He used different words. And we're encouraged to do the same. And you can do it if you know for sure God said, I'm going to heal that person this morning. Of course, a lot of the time you don't know. And that's where the listening comes in, that I know Gary was talking about when he was talking about prayer last week. But you see, there is something about knowing you've got that relationship with God the Father so that you know what he wants you to do. Because if you know God said, that's what I'm going to do, you're on solid ground when you say, be healed in Jesus' name. If God the Father's already said, that's going to happen. I'm authorizing you to speak to that person. In the power of the Holy Spirit, it's going to happen. Now, prayer, therefore, as far as I can see, is vital. I just want to draw your attention. Over the last few weeks, I've shown you from the Bible where all the praying pops up. It's all over the place. Jesus prayed all the time. And if you look at Paul's letters, he seems to be just the same. I'm just going to give you one example from his letter to the Colossians. This is how it begins. It says, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. We always thank God the Father when we pray for you. So he's writing a letter to a church full of people in Colossae. And if you read it, he says, when you've read this letter, send it across to the church at Laodicea and get the one I've written to them. So although he'd written it to these folk, he meant it for the others as well. So Paul was constantly praying for the people in the churches that he had a sense of responsibility for. Constantly praying. But when he rounded off his letter, it's even stronger. I was drawn to this great passage. I want to encourage you, those of you who go home and get your Bible out after lunch and read out what we've been talking about, read this. Colossians chapter 4, listen to it. Devote yourselves to prayer. I haven't got time to take this to pieces this morning because there's some other stuff I want to do. But devote is a very, very strong, powerful word. Devote, when you devote yourself to something, you give it a high priority, you make sure you do it, you give it your full attention. So he says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Now, as I read it, I saw those two words, watchful and thankful. Because what I'm going to do by the end of this morning, I'm going to invite you as church, us as church, to set up a simple system whereby we make sure that every single person in this church is being prayed for. We are praying for one another, and then also we are praying beyond the doors. Because that's what Kirsty said about praying for that Friday is really important. It's really important because, you know, it's not a foregone conclusion that that day will be brilliant. And I'd like it to be, because I'll get it in the neck from the teenagers if they're wandering around saying, what you done with our carnival? And I can hear it. I got in trouble last year and I only sang two carols, but I had 16-year-olds coming to tell me off. But look at this. Being watchful and thankful. When you pray for one another, there's two, those two words sum it up. Watchful and thankful. Usually I would put it the other way around, because I would normally start with thanking God for things, because by the time you've spent a bit of time thanking God for things, you've really got a hold of some amazing things God's done. You know, if I were to start thanking, if I just look round this room and I just glance at a few people and I thank God for what he's done. So I thanked God when I came through the door this morning and saw 5 grandkids. They didn't get up to see me, they gave me a little wave, but they were there. I thank God that Jeff can stand up and play his bass. He's not walking around with a stick. I thank God that Mandy, for whom we prayed last week, is home. She's got an eye patch on, but as far as we can tell, the operation's been successful. They were just so worn out by all they've been doing, they're not with us this morning. But we thank God. I can just work my way around the room, can't I? I thank God for everything Malcolm did through the Salvation Army, that he's still pressing strong, that his family are honouring God. I can do it all the way. I can thank you that I was talking about Glenys. I'll just let on. It was Glenys who talked to me a few weeks ago and wanted to talk to me about being... I can't remember whether we were using the word saved at the time. I just noticed when I'm preaching, she smiles more than a lot of you. And so I look in her direction. I always look at the people who smile at me. It makes life easy. But I thank God that she made that choice and made that decision and that, you know, I'm hoping she'll be available next time we're baptising people and so on. And I could go on. So thankful, but watchful. That's crucial, you know. That is really important. We look around. I am grateful that there's a crowd of people watching my back. Oh, yeah, I'd like one, but I can't. I shan't be able to talk sucking one of them. And we should be... You see, God will show you things. If you stop and think and you begin to pray for somebody, he'll show you where there's a bit of pressure coming on them. It may not show you the detail. And you are watchful and you care about people. And you say, God, is there anything I can do to help? Not just, God, will you make them well? Because sometimes God wants to do a bit more than that. He wants to involve us in things, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I'm in chains. This guy was in prison. Paul was in prison at the time, and he said, pray for me that the message I've got will be heard. Now this is Paul. This is the sort of greatest apostle around. He needs prayer from every person in the Colossian church. And he said the same to the others as well. For which I'm in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. He didn't say, will you pray that they let me out of prison? He didn't say that. He never said that. Because as far as he was concerned, he was in prison until God told him to get out. Because he was meeting with so many people in prison. He'd got so much to say. Then read on. Look at that. I left this in. It's a bit different really, but... Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Oh, dear me. Now, that's a shift. That's not about prayer, but I thought I'm going to leave that in. Because that is so vital. You see, if you just pray, can I tell you what? It won't be totally effective. Because you're supposed to pray and live. And you are supposed to be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. By outsiders, he means people who have not yet decided to be Christians. And he says, make the most of every opportunity. Friday night that Kirsty was talking about is an opportunity to make the most of. It's only 3 hours. It'll not be snowing. Hopefully it'll not be raining. It'll be a great opportunity. Some of you have already signed up to steward. If you haven't, and you could, and you can get a yellow jacket on, talk to Kirsty afterwards. She was able to go to our meeting the other day and say, I think she said, I've got 10 stewards, I've got 3 paramedics. And somebody else said, well, we've got 2 stewards on the car park and we're paying them. I don't think anybody else has got any stewards. No. I thought you were a volunteer. I see you were, yeah. And keep on the track, Graham. Make the most of every opportunity. Do you know, that be wise in the way you act towards outside. How many of you... I've been in a phone call to complain about something, and you've gone through the listen to this list, and you've pressed button 3, and you've pressed button 4, and if you're lucky, you've pressed button 1, and then you're actually talking to some poor girl. How many of you have lost your rag? Yeah, we do, don't we? I'm there through gritted teeth saying, I'm awfully sorry, I'm cross this morning, I know it's not your fault. But we do it, you know, we do it. This says, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. People should know the difference. People should, when they meet you, think, I wonder why he's such a nice person. I wonder why he smiles all the time when I kick him. It's that kind of thing. There should be something. And I don't know about you. I pause sometimes and I think, oh, stop it, Graham. There's no point in getting mad with that person. It's not their fault. Bless them. Do something about it. Smile. People ought to want to come back when they've seen you and me, didn't they? They really did. Praise God. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. That's just by passing. Read it, please. What's that say? Oh, yeah. Oh, it doesn't matter. Now then, I want to just list a few things that are about effective prayer, and then I want to come to something that I'm going to suggest we do regularly. I've made a list of a few things. These are things I've copied. I think they're all somebody else. I acquired these when I was listening to some outstanding teaching by a guy called Dave Smith, who leads a nearly 2,000 church in Peterborough. And it's a great church and he's a remarkable teacher. And I heard him teaching this and he set me on fire for the whole prayer thing, or reignited it, or just kept the fun. And I saw these things and I thought, you need to hear these. Number one, principles of effective prayer, they should be Father focused. Now, I am not saying you can never pray to Jesus or you can never pray to the Holy Spirit. But what I am saying is when you pray, the focus is on Father God. One of the reasons I say that is because when the disciples said to Jesus, how should we pray? He said, pray our Father who art in heaven. Now, I know he had a different relationship, but you do realize, don't you, that people in his day did not normally call God Father. That was not an image they had. It wasn't a word they used. God was God, distant, almighty, don't come near. If I see God, I'm going to die. That was the fear element. So to call God Father was incredible. But he didn't just say, call him Jesus' Father. He said, call him our Father. Our Father. And I think that is really absolutely crucial. We must realize that there is a God created you and me because he wanted a relationship with us. And the relationship he wanted was a father-son, father-daughter relationship. And it's so important. It's not just he's the gaffer and I'm the servant doing as I'm told. It's father, son. But it's the kind of father that knows what's going to happen, can see it all. And if we can hear what he says, there's something truly remarkable about it. I am pursuing it all the time. I am not there yet. In fact, I'll tell you what, nobody in this room's there yet. Because we won't be. But we need to press further forward. Some of us may be further on than others. And some of us find it easier to sit in a quiet room and talk to God or shout at him on the hilltops or whatever you do. But he's actually eager that we all do it. That we all do it. There's something there. Father focused. God is your Father. If you have not realized what a wonderful Father he is, then there's something. Because it's not just about being saved, you know. Being a Christian is far bigger than that. Far, far bigger than that. A relationship with God the Father. It needs to be Christ-centered. If you look at, you know, we've sometimes said, Jesus said, you will do greater things than I've done. He said things like that. And he said, when I'm gone, ask anything in my name and I'll do it. Christ-centered means that when you are praying, you are praying in the name of Jesus Christ. That means you're praying in his authority. You're praying because he has said you can. That's why you can pray. Because Jesus has said you can pray this. Because we have that relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ. So it's centered in who he is, what he's done. We can pray those things. That gives us authority. That gives us. When we say in the name of Jesus, it's not just a tack on. It's something that says, I've understood that Jesus is the authority and what he says goes. And it's in his name and it's in his authority that I'm praying these things. Christ-centered. Spirit-led. You know, the gift of the Holy Spirit is truly remarkable. It is truly incredible, particularly when you come into prayer. I've just read a brilliant book that essentially says every prayer, you're saying to God the Father, will you authorize me to do this? I'm coming to you in the name of Jesus. Will you release the power of the Holy Spirit to do it? The power of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that power is like dynamite. It says the power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power that the Holy Spirit uses to work through you. It's there. It's in us. I didn't realize that when I first moved into this area 40 years ago. I'd read the stuff, but I didn't realize how powerful it was. I would like to say that every single person who has given their lives to Jesus has the Holy Spirit within them. But actually, God wants us to be full of the Holy Spirit. And to be full of the Holy Spirit, you have to keep on asking God to fill you up. I was doing it this morning. I felt a bit low on Holy Spirit. So when we were praying, I hardly said a word, which is unusual, in the prayer meeting before. I was just saying, God, fill me up. I need filling up, God. I need filling up, God. There's a day for most of us where we use this phrase, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, filled to overflowing. It's often, there's a day when it happens to you. There was a day when it happened to me. I was pursuing it for ages, but there was a day when it happened to me, when I suddenly knew God had filled me to overflowing with his Holy Spirit. Wow. Now, I have my good days and I have my bad days. But there was the day. I tell you what, when Paul is talking about praying in the Spirit, he also means praying in tongues. It's quite clear when you look at certain things. Now, I'm not sort of trying to talk down to anybody who doesn't do that yet. I would just encourage you to ask God to give you the gift, because he wants to do it. But the number of times I haven't got words to pray what I need to pray. The number of times when I just don't feel like praying, when I just can't get tuned in, but I can always let loose with that gift that God has given me, and I can pray from deep down within myself. I haven't got time to go into detail, so if you don't understand what I'm talking about, I'll talk to you about it another time. But I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. Those of you who don't speak in tongues very often, do it more. Those of you who don't speak in tongues yet, get somebody to pray with you so that you do. Because there's something let loose. And I listened to Dave Smith, who's grown a church from 50 to 1,500 plus. And he says that this is the most important thing for him. Prayer, God giving him a passion to pray, and praying in tongues. And he's talked about some examples. I can give you so many stories of other people as well as me. It is a fruitful and powerful gift. So it's Father-focused. It's Christ-centered. It's Spirit-led. It's in the power of the Spirit. It's full of faith. Hebrews says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, that is another preach. I haven't got time for it now. But faith is actually knowing what God said. That's why if you've heard God the Father say something, you have faith to pray it and believe it. There are things that I am praying. It's not that they happen instantly, but I am so convinced God's declared it, I've just got to keep pressing in and pursuing it. Full of faith, persevering. That does not mean, because you remember Jesus said, don't be like the people who just clatter and rattle and repeat all the time and just pester. You know, I told you the story a couple of weeks ago where Jesus told that story about the judge who eventually gave in because the woman just made his life a misery because she kept pestering him. That's not what persevere means. It's not, God, I was talking to you about this yesterday, you've not done it yet, will you please do it today? It's not that. But there are certain things where God wants us to persevere. I believe this whole business of where I'm going. Because what I do is more important than when I'm healed or not. I don't need to be healed so long as I can do what God wants me to do. Not saying I don't want healing. That's neither here nor there. But the thing is, God wants me to do certain things. So we've got to persevere to make sure I can. Press on. Persevere. Keep going. And we've got to be united. You know, there's something really remarkable about being united in prayer. That's why we pray together. That's why sometimes we use a prayer that we've written and we read it together. That's why we sing songs, actually. Because when you sing songs, you're all singing the same words. There's something united. One of the psalms says... just going to quote it properly and then it's gone. The Lord commands unity. The Lord commands blessing where there's unity. The Lord commands. I think he can't resist it. He can't resist unity. And there's a move afoot across churches, certainly in the United Kingdom, but more than that, to be united in what they do, to be together. We need to be together in what we do. So I want to just talk now very quickly about effective prayer in Ashwood. Because I think we can do more. What should our prayers consist of? What are we praying for? Well, we start, as Jesus said, start Our Father. And what did it say? It said, hallowed be your name. In other words, we start recognizing that he is our Father, but he's holy. It's not just any old Father. He is Father God, the Almighty God, the creator of the universe. But Jesus seems to be implying that's where we start. And then it starts with thanksgiving, praise, adoration and worship. It'll always do you good if you thank God for what he's done. And it'll always do you good if you begin to praise God for who he is. Because you suddenly realise how amazing he is. And when you realise how amazing God is, you can begin to ask him for things that you otherwise wouldn't do. And then it says, your kingdom come, your will be done. That's a phrase I quote often, because that's our objective. We want in everything we do to make sure that God's kingdom comes and God's will is done here on earth as it is in heaven. We know it's all done his way in heaven. It's not down here yet, but it will be. Then you have the opportunity to pray for certain things. In that prayer, as Gary reminded you last week, if you were here, he said, pray for your daily bread. In other words, pray for the things you need. You know, you can't expect to go to God and say you want the latest model of Rolls Royce. Not that most of us would want one anyway, but you can't expect to go for that and quote that word of scripture and say, therefore, because otherwise the car park can't take it. If we've all got one, it just don't work. Yeah. But you've got this opportunity to pray for things in accordance with what God said. Then forgive us. That's in that prayer. In fact, it's big in that prayer. In fact, it says at the end, if you don't forgive people, God's not going to forgive you. That's a bit heavy, isn't it? But that's what it says. But on the other hand, and sometimes we do it over and over again, but we forgive people. And sometimes we pray it through gritted teeth. They were really nasty to me, but I forgive them, God. And then you examine your attitude and you think, oh, I haven't done it yet, have I? So you just adjust the way you say it and you move. And then also, deliver us from the evil one. That's what it says. That's where the watchful comes in. It's where the watchful comes in. We can pray for one another that we are kept safe. What's our prayer objective? Well, my objective in all this, and the reason I'm emphasising this, is that I want us to make sure that everyone in Ashwood is being prayed for. It's ever so simple. But I don't want people just praying for their family, just praying for their best friends, because somebody might get left out. I don't want anybody left out. So we're going to be praying for people for their well-being, for their relationship with God, for their effectiveness. Because we want to be effective in bringing in the kingdom of God together and for our protection. That's what we're looking to achieve. And in order to try and make it simple, I'm suggesting that we do it through our life groups. Now, I've already talked to the life group leaders about this. And so what we're suggesting is a simple process, because this will, by some means or other, we're going to include everybody if we can. We're going to ask the leaders of the family groups, including Tom, the life groups, to pray for the members of their group. We're going to ask the members of the group to pray for their leaders and for each other. That will cover the vast majority of people. We'll include everybody. I've done something at the bottom of it that I was a bit uncomfortable with, because I'm asking everybody to pray for Molly and me. I'll tell you why. Partly because we need it, that's obvious. But I listened to Dave Smith when he was describing how they do something a bit like this. And he said, and then of course, he said it like this. And then of course, everybody in the church prays for me, for my wife and my family. Because where would the church be if I got taken out? And when he said that, I thought, yeah, I can see that. Because you see, I'm so impressed with that man. I'm so impressed with his leadership and his teaching. And I've seen what he's done. So I'm thinking to myself, yeah, I agree with that. If he was taken out, what would happen? And then I thought, yeah, but if I was taken out, you lot would be all right. That's what I thought. Now, the life group leader shouted me down a little. Not too much, but a little. And I thought, well, actually, the truth is, if God's called us to lead this church, then surely we must need your prayers to do it right. So it's not like I'm saying we are so special, everybody's got to pray for us. Nor am I saying, if I'm honest, we are so desperate that we need everybody to pray for us. What I'm saying is, God's given us a job to do. We want to do it well. Therefore, in unity, we need you to pray for us. Is that okay? And the way we're going to do it, I've provided a simple card. It looks like that. This one's mine. I've already got mine ready. What are you laughing at? It's the family, you know. They're laughing at me. I didn't laugh at you, Kirsten. Your life group leaders will give you a card like this. I'm just trying to be helpful. And I think this is going to be really helpful to us. Because you see, it is vital that this church is prayed for. I think there's so much more that God wants to unearth through us. And this will help us all to pray more effectively. So you finish up with a card like that. And at the top of it, you will simply write the names of the people you're praying for. So this, there it says, you see. Now that's mine. I pray for Molly. And the people I've listed on there, for me, I'm praying for the ops team and the leaders of the life groups, and I hope I haven't left anybody out. The next one shows you what the bottom of the card looks like. The bottom of the card says, I am praying that Ashwood Church will grow. That goes beyond the people. If we just pray for people, we'll limit it. See, I believe that God said that this church is supposed to grow. Now, the Bible tells me that it's God who grows the church. We extend his kingdom. But if we ask God to grow the church, then we are partnering with him to do it. And I think he wants to do it. I've heard great stories. Molly told me a story of an Anglican friend of our vicar in Ravenshead who started the church praying like this, just pray that the church would grow. And after 2 years, he felt he ought to tell them to stop because the place was full. Now, wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if we're so full? And I mean people who aren't yet saved. I don't just mean transfers. The odd transfer's okay. That's fine if God's moved people along or they've moved area or whatever. But I'm looking for people who aren't Christians yet. So that's my card, you see. So I've got those people, I've got that. On the back of the card, you remember a few weeks back on a couple of occasions, we've prayed a prayer together. You can't read it. But a few of us have just consulted a few people because we wanted to hear God so that this prayer is something that God's saying. So this has been tweaked a bit, and no doubt after 6 months we'll redo it and we'll tweak it again. Here's a prayer that I want to encourage us to pray. Before we finish this morning, we will pray it together. So, this is how it'll work. On your card, you will simply list the names of the people you're praying for. So if you're in a particular life group, and you're a member of the group, you'll write the names of the leaders of your life group at the top, then the other members down below them, and you'll have a list of people you are praying for, and incidentally, who are praying for you. Works both ways. If you're a leader of a life group, it's more or less the same. You probably put your members first, and you probably don't put your own names on. Probably put your spouse on. That's a good thing to do, I'd have thought. And what I'm asking simply is that, ideally, each day, if this is somewhere handy, each day I would like us to just come before God and pray for Ashwood Church. Now, on one day, you might simply do this. You might say, God, this morning I am praying for these people on this card. I am praying God's blessing, favour, protection and growth for them. If you're flying out, you can do that. On the other hand, you might say, and you might list them before God. And on some days, you'll look at a name and you'll be aware of some particular need or something you want to join with them to thank God for. So you'll spend a bit of time praying for an individual. You may add some other people on your list. Do you see what I'm saying? Because I think this will grow, but it means everybody can be included at that basic level, but we've got more. And then whenever you can make the time, I'd love you to pray this prayer on the back. Because this prayer's been carefully crafted, if you like. There's nothing in there that we don't believe God said. So when we're thanking God, I'm sure you can all join that. And when we're asking God for certain things, it's on there too. And please join that when it says, I'm praying that Ashwood will grow. And sometimes God will give you particular things to pray for, particular people. And what are we going to pray? We are going to pray favour. This is written at the top, so you can't miss it. Favour, protection, blessing, equipping and effectiveness and protection and growth. I've reworded it there, but it's the same thing. Because we want the favour of God on one another. We want the blessing of God on one another. We can ask God to do it. We want the protection of God for one another. But we also want the equipping of God. You know, you might look at a certain person. You see, has Ben gone somewhere else? Where's Ben? Ben's next door. You see, I'm blessed that when Ben said good morning to us this morning, I'm thinking, I can remember when he was just a little lad. And each time he does a bit more, I'm watching his face. I listened to him pray in the prayer group this morning. I'm thanking God for him. I'm watching that God's been equipping him and still is equipping him. We're all being equipped, not just for what happens in church, but for what happens outside as well. I've got one little clip for you here that might be of interest, that might just plug this into your memory. You know in Ephesians where it says, take on the armour of God? One of the things it says is pick up the shield of faith. Now, the shield of faith is not one of those tiny little things that you just move around to try and stop the arrows hitting you. The shield of faith is something really big. And I think often they were made of some material so that if fiery darts were fired into them, they extinguished the fiery darts. That's what the Bible talks of. But they did not just protect one person. They were designed to protect one another. Just watch this little clip. Here we go. The soundtrack goes left, left. No, it does say left, actually, sorry. Absolutely. And that's what Paul would have had in mind when he said it, you see. And I just want you, if that image is helpful to you, I have a feeling that when they had bigger groups than that, I reckon they probably had shields down the side as well. And probably even at the back, although probably less necessary at the back, but certainly over the top. Do you see what they do? But that is keeping not just one individual safe, it's keeping the whole lot safe. And notice something else, they're moving forward. Now, that was just a little enactment. That was not the real thing, because unfortunately I hadn't got any clips of Roman times. But there's something there. I just, when I saw that, I thought, yeah, I can see that. Groups of us, your life group, you might even like to do it as an exercise in life group. You know, just go from one end of the room to the other, covering one another. But there's a powerful image there which I hope you'll find helpful. And so to conclude, I've gone longer than I normally would, and I'm not going to apologise for that, because I felt I had to do it, and I also talked far about other things. But I'd like us to pray this prayer that's on these cards. I could have dished them out. I'm even wondering if I should have done now, but I'm not. They're in envelopes that the life groups of leaders have got, and they will give you them, and you'll be able to talk together in your groups, and you'll be able to encourage one another and so on. But I'd like us to pray this prayer together. It's in the next two frames. It's similar to the one we've prayed before, but I think this is in line with what God's saying to us, okay? Oh, sorry, thank you, Matthew. Matt's remind me that not every single person in this room is in a life group, but you do see yourselves as part of this church. Because I think a member of this church would ideally for me be someone who comes regularly on a Sunday morning, who ideally is in a life group, and who ideally is investing into the kingdom of God through our offerings. That's a simple situation. But there are many of you who are in that process, but you're not yet in life groups. Here's an indication somebody thinks I've gone on too long. Nice to see you all. So we're going to try and include everybody in. If you don't, within the next week or two, finish up with a card, either because you're not in the life group, we are connecting some people through to life groups. And otherwise, Janet or Molly will provide, or I will provide you with one of these cards, and we'll make a suggestion as to how you link through. We've done it deliberately rather than say everybody pick and choose, because this method covers every person who's already in a life group, everybody who's attached to one, and we will just connect them through that. By the way, whilst I'm doing that also, some of you are parents, your kids might like to do it themselves, and that would be great. Some of the youngster groups might do it, or just within your families. When we pray for, we're praying for families anyway, but there are a few people I'm sure would want to do it. So shall we pray this prayer together? Would you like to stand, because you've been sitting down for a while? If you're uncomfortable standing, please feel free to sit down. That isn't a problem. Okay. Let's pray this prayer together then, shall we? Our Father, thank you for calling Ashwood Church into being almost 40 years ago, and thank you for your provision and favour over those years. Thank you that you have called us now to play our part in affecting individuals and our communities with your good news and for the extension of your kingdom. Thank you that you forgive us when we have not been everything you intended. We ask that you continue to fill us with your Holy Spirit. Please increase our passion to love you, please you, hear you, and obey you more and more. Would you help us to be bold in pursuing all that you have for us and our communities? More signs of your presence and power, salvation, healing, miracles, and freedom. We believe you have said that Ashwood Church will grow. Please guide us in this development season. Help us to play our part as we seek to become the people and the church that you've called us to be, to bring honour and glory to your name and make Jesus famous in our land. Amen. Amen. Okay, I think we can pray that prayer, can't we? I'm going to pray for you now. Is there anything else you wanted to... Sure? Anything else? Oh, we haven't taken the offering. We haven't taken the offering, did we? We'll have the offering bowl down by the coffee. In fact, we'll have one down by the coffee and one by the door just in case anybody's not having coffee. How's that sound? Okay, thank you very much. I'm going to pray. Just put yourself in receiving mode for a minute. Just put yourself in that place where you're ready to believe God for anything and receive from it. Father God, I thank you that you have chosen to include us in your plans. I thank you that you sent Jesus to inaugurate your kingdom, and that he came to declare it, and he began to do things. And I thank you that he said we would continue to do them, and indeed would even do greater. We want to be a part of that, God, please. We're counting ourselves in this morning. And so I do pray, God, I pray your blessing on every single person in this room. I pray for a fresh revelation of you as our Father. I pray that whatever our own earthly fathers may have been like, may we see you as the most wonderful and effective Father. A Father who wants the best for us, who's guiding us, who's equipping us, and who wants to work with us to inaugurate your kingdom yet further. We thank you, Jesus, that you died to set us free. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that we have you within us, and we choose to be on a daily basis filled to overflow. And help us to overflow more and more. I'm praying, Lord, that there will be something about us that will make us reflective of the wonders of Jesus, so that people will be attracted even to us and what we're doing, particularly to us together. I pray, Lord, that as we come together in unity over this, that you will pour out your blessing as you promised. We are believing you for it, Lord. And now I pray for each and every person in this room, the youngest to the oldest, that we might be filled afresh with Holy Spirit. I pray for each person in this room who's not yet chosen to follow you completely, that they too may join us. I pray for many more, some people we know, some people we don't, who may join us to affect our communities, to make a difference around us. And so, God, let your Spirit fall upon us. Where we have needs, may they be met. Where we have promises, may they be reinforced. We just thank you again, God. Would you help us to be everything that you long for us to be, as individuals, as family units, as life groups, every little group in we are, and as individuals too. Because we want to see your kingdom come, and we want to see your will being done here as it is in heaven. We need your help to do it, God. But we know you've said ask and you'll receive. We need your wisdom to do it, but you've said ask and we'll receive. So God, I'm expecting that every person in this room, youngest to oldest, is going to receive more from you from today because we've asked. And as we commit ourselves to pray for one another, we believe we will make a difference together to see your kingdom come. Thank you, God, for your incredible generosity to us. May we be everything that you intend us to be. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.